Biologic is Biological Medicine's digital roundtable, brought to you by the doctors at Biologic Center for Optimum Health. Join us as we discuss the intrinsic logic of the body, as well as practical steps you can take to see and feel a real difference in your own.
Today, I'm going to go over detoxification, what I call the art of the zebrafish. So I call it the way or the art of the zebrafish because they did a research study and they took a bunch of different cells and they put them in some petri dishes and they loaded them up with heavy metals. Okay, and with those heavy metals, they started to see which cells could deal with the heavy metal toxicity and survive and then which ones died. Zebrafish by far outperformed any of the other cells. They were able to continually kick out the heavy metals over and over again and survive. And so in my mind, that's a great way to look at our toxic world, right? We live in a toxic world, and while it'd be nice for us to say that we're gonna go shampoo it all and clean it up, it's probably not getting better anytime soon, right? So we need to become the zebrafish. And so when I'm working with my patients, the way I look at detoxification is we're gonna teach you the art of becoming the zebrafish. So what is toxicity and detoxification? Detoxification, it's a natural process in our body. It helps us remove toxins, and any living organism has this, to remove toxins, and it allows us to maintain our homeostasis, right? Our health level, or our adaptability. And so it's typical for our detoxification systems to do this moment to moment, every day, every hour, in order to maintain that level of health. But toxicity is when any substance in excess starts to cause harm, cause disease, cause injury, or even death, right? And so you can somewhat categorize some things as toxic and some not, but truly it's about a threshold, right? In water, in excess becomes a toxin. It creates a problem. Food in excess becomes a problem, okay? So anything can become a toxin in too high of amount. So we don't wanna get too black or white, too absolutist about it, but the point is to know at what point does this thing create toxicity and at what's the threshold to get there? So that's what creates a toxin. So again, we live in a toxic world, right? And a lot of people, they ask, where did I get all these toxins? Well, on average, we're exposed to up to 2.1 million toxic substances per day, different unique substances per day, right? And so it's not about, well, where did I get all this? It's about what are we going to do about it because you're getting it regardless. So when they study Eskimos, Inuits, and they look at their breast milk, what they find is that even the most sequestered, even the most remote groups of those Inuits. The mothers have plastics in their breast milk when they don't use plastic. They've got dioxins, they've got pesticides in their breast milk when nobody's spraying what they're eating, right? Where's all this stuff coming from? At this point, we can't get away from it, okay? And so what I'm telling you to say that is, it's a toxic world and we need to deal with it and we need to cope with it. I don't want you to get neurotic about it and freak yourself out about trying to avoid all of them because you're not gonna avoid 2.1 million toxins. Right, you need to do the best you can, but it's toxic, and so we got to figure it out. Hence, let's look at a bioregulatory approach to dealing with it. So I give this talk to my patients about how does bioregulatory or biological medicine approach health? How do we look at it? What are we going to do about it? So if we come over and you can see at the top, we start at input, right? Input is anything coming into your body. It's the foods you eat, it's the toxins we just talked about, it's the fresh air, it's the thoughts coming into your head, it's the relationships you have. Some of these things you can control and some you can't, right? You can't control the 5G tower that just went up by your house that's input into your body. But you can control the thoughts and you can control the foods. But regardless, all the input coming in. Then what your body has to do is it has to process that information, right? So you start eating, everybody's eating right now, and let's say you're eating a sandwich, okay? And there's all those starches coming in. Well, as you're chewing, your body's going, okay, how many starches are here? It's processing this information. And as it's doing that, as it's processing, okay, there's this much protein, this much starch, this much fat, okay? It's gonna have to start sending feedback loops down to your digestive system. And so it says, okay, pancreas, I need you to release this much amylase, this much lipase, to start breaking these fats and carbs down. Stomach, I need you to start releasing this much stomach acid to start so we can break these proteins down, right? And if all of that's going well, then we adapt and we get health, okay? So you wanna look at what are you bringing into the system? How does your body process that information? How are your feedback loops looking? And then are your systems regulating themselves? So the detoxification, digestive system, immune system, neurological system, are they all regulating? And if all that's going well, you're adapting and you get health. So in a moment, we're going to come back to that as a topic. That's kind of setting you up so I can talk to you about how to deal with detoxification. So first, all of our parts of our body that deal with detoxification have phases, right? Phase 1, 2, and 3. Phase 1 is when you have a toxin, your body has to get it ready to be cleared, okay? It has to be made soluble. And so the body has these enzymes that basically take it and they kind of scruff it up so it can be attached to, something can attach it. If the toxin's too smooth, you can't do anything with it. So phase 1, the enzymes come in, they activate it, they get it scruffed up, and they get it ready. Now, part of what happens when that occurs is it becomes more reactive. It's a little more of an issue at that moment. So then we need phase 2 to come in quickly, which is called conjugation. That means something comes onto that scruffed up reactive part and attaches and starts to neutralize it so it can be moved out. It makes it even more soluble so it can be cleared. And then in phase 3, it's going to be transported out. Okay, it's going to be cleared out. And there's 3 parts of phase 3, just to be more complicated. There's transporting it out of the cell, transport proteins. There's draining it from the organ, and there's eliminating it from the body. So in our bodies, if we can't do this, or there's a reason we can't do this, it may look like this, right? So if you have too much toxic input, it's going to dysregulate the system. You can't adapt. You call it maladaptation. You'll start with dis-ease, and then you'll get to disease, right? So many of you had a period, if you listen to your story, where you were adapting, okay? You might call yourself healthy, and I might question that sometimes, how healthy were you really? Or maybe you just were adapting to unhealthy issues at that moment. And then at some point you started to notice, things aren't really okay. Like, I'm not really doing okay, but I'm managing, right? That's what we call dis-ease. You're no longer adapting, you're starting to manifest some symptoms. And as that got on, your body could no longer keep up, and then you're in disease state, right? You're chronically ill at that point. And so any of these steps can create that. Wrong input, you can't process the information anymore. If you can't process the information, you can't give feedback to know what to do. So suddenly you can't digest fats correctly because you're not producing enough lipase. You might chew on an avocado, but the pancreas never gets the message, right? And so you don't produce enough lipase. And suddenly it's coming out in the toilet. You can see it coming out. And so it could be an information processing. Your feedback loops could be an issue. You could have a functional issue in your systems. Any one of those could be a problem. Or you could have too much stress breaking the system down. Any one of those. So at that point, from a toxic perspective, that could overload the system and lead to maladaptation. You could have lifestyle factors like we just talked about. You could be leading a toxic life like you're using the wrong shampoos. You're cleaning with bleach all the time, right? Those are all possibilities. You can just be bioaccumulating things over the lifetime. Like maybe you don't exercise enough to clear toxins, and you're just bioaccumulating the VOCs from your work environment and the stuff outside in the air. You could have a toxin exposure. Like maybe at work you're a carpenter and you cut open something with asbestos and you get a big toxic exposure of asbestos. Or you live in a toxic environment near a radiation plant, you get a big exposure, right? Mold is going to be a massive toxin, and I'll explain more why it affects detox later today, but mold's a big one to block up detoxification. Chronic infections are going to break many of these layers down, right? So they're going to break down information processing, they're going to break down our different systems, which will affect detoxification. Your diet, like we already talked about, can be a source of toxins, or it can be a source of stressors for the other systems. Heavy metals are going to be a big issue. And then environmental exposures like chronic pesticide or herbicide exposure is going to be a big one. Chronic VOCs in new buildings, things like that you're going to pick up from the environment. So if that's how detoxification works, and then we're starting to see how we can run into problems with toxins and they create disease, what are we going to do about it? And this is where the way of the zebrafish comes in handy. So kind of as a fun way of dealing with this, sticking with the martial arts analogy here, I'm going to have a couple of sayings of the zebrafish sensei, right? And so if we're obvious that toxicity is a problem, oh, wise one, what should we do, right? So sayings of the zebrafish sensei. First, minimize your toxic input, okay? So again, I don't want you to go crazy on it because you could drive yourself nuts, right? But do the best you can. Eliminate toxins in your cosmetics, in your toiletries, in your cleaning products at home, right? Limit that as much as possible. Do your best. You know, if you know a building's massively moldy, probably don't want to go in it, okay? So we want to limit as much excess toxins as we can without driving ourselves crazy, would be number one. The second saying, those that are last shall be first, okay? So in our phases of detoxification, we need to work from the last phase and work our way backwards to the front. So we want to start with elimination. So when it's time to get a toxin out of the body, how does it get out? It's four routes, okay? You're gonna breathe it out, it comes out through the lungs. You're gonna sweat it out through the skin. You're gonna urinate it out, and you're gonna poop it out, right? We gotta get that stuff out of us. So I'll ask my patients in so many words, how are you breathing? Are you urinating? Do you sweat? Are you pooping every day, right? Those are important questions. And if you're not, you can't detox, because how are you gonna get those out of the body? So you need at least a couple of those up and running. Maybe you don't sweat yet, that's okay, as long as you're having bowel movements, right? But if you're having trouble with all of those, we need to get them moving, because otherwise you can't get them out of the body. So get it moving, get it out, right? Get exercising, start sauna, deep breathing's great, stay hydrated, get colonics if you need to, coffee enemas, get these phases moving. So from elimination, we go to drainage, right? We need to drain toxins, the toxic substance from the blood, the extracellular matrix and lymph, and get it into the liver and kidneys and then out into the bladder, intestines, and lungs so we can clear this out, right? So it's got to drain from one phase to the next. A key blockage here is the liver to gallbladder, right? All the toxins have to flow from your liver to your gallbladder to the intestines on out. A key blocking point is that gallbladder. Okay, if you can't get it from the liver to gallbladder, gallbladder to intestines, they're gonna sit and rot. And I'll explain why in a minute, that's such a big deal. So getting that gallbladder opened up, that's gonna be huge. What I call this phase, the drainage phase, is we're either draining the swamp or we're cleaning the cream off the top. So if you've ever brought something to boil with milk or anything like that, the cream rises, right? And you gotta scoop it off and just keep it rising. That's drainage. It's gonna rise to the top and then we just gotta scoop it off. So this is essentially the flow through the body's filters and then into the drain, if we're using like a sink metaphor. We gotta filter it and then drain it down the tube. Great ways to move this, but are typically undervalued, right? This is a huge block I see for patients coming in. It's something that they're not using for detoxification. A lot of other practitioners aren't using it, and it's gonna massive room for improvement for you. And so if you're using it, you'll see a lot of times detox opens way up just by working simply on drainage. And so herbs, bitters, homeopathics are all gonna help. Massage, lymphatic support, circulation support, exercise, visceral manipulation, certain foods, phospholipids, and vitamin C will all support this. And as I'm suggesting these, you can see how beautifully our system here at Biologics works to work with that, right? So you've got the doctor visits where we're putting together a protocol for you. You've got the massage therapist working massage and lymphatics for you. You've got the STA and the Beamer and the sauna all working together to synergize the different steps of detoxification and drainage. And so it's the way the full system works all together to make that happen for you, which is partially why a lot of times patients come and say, I've been detoxing for years and I'm not getting anywhere. Yeah, but you really haven't detoxed. You've been running into a block. You can't even drain. Right? We can't even get to the next phase out of this. And so when you come, we're creating that synergism to open up those blocks and get you draining again. So once you have got drainage out of the way, now we can ask the body to start transporting the toxins out of the cells. Look, if you're gonna start into phase two detoxification or transport before you can even drain or eliminate, there's no point. You're gonna feel terrible. You're gonna feel like a truck ran over you, right? And so you have to get these going in this order. And so next would be transport. We're asking it to go from the cells into the extracellular matrix, into the circulation, into the lymph to hit those detox organs, okay? So this requires special transport proteins on the cell membranes and then certain cellular membrane proteins to move it from inside the cell to outside the cell, okay? This is what the zebrafish do best. They kick it from inside the cell to outside the cell, right? And when they study the cells, of course, there's no drainage organs because it just goes in the petri dish. But they do this fantastic. And so that's what you need to do. Once these other options are opened, we gotta get it out of the cell and then moving through the circulation so we can clear it. So this requires a high functioning of structured water around the cells. So maybe some of you heard about the idea of the fourth phase of water, right? We've got gas, we've got ice, it's solid, we've got the liquid, but there's a fourth kind of gelatinous phase that's known as structured water, okay? And around the cells, we have structured water, okay? That allows great cellular communication, great transport, because it's not chaotic. Everything can just slide right through it, slide through that gel. Toxins and infections just destroy that. They disrupt the snot out of it, right? And certain foods and glyphosate, they just rupture it. And so now that water, those toxins are forced to kind of go through a chaotic water. It's like instead of having a stream that flows so perfectly downriver, the stream's flowing in all different directions. It's gonna be way harder to cross that stream now, right? But if it's flowing in one direction, you can kind of ride it down. Well, that structured water is the same, right? So if we have structure to that water around the cell, the toxin can flow out nicely into that circulation system. But if it's disrupted, then it's gonna be chaotic and it's gonna be a lot harder. It's gonna create a lot more inflammation. So what do we do about that? Well, we structure a lot of our water here, right? You see us beamering the water sometimes, that structures it. Sometimes in some of the different doctor's office, you'll see little discs under the water jugs. That's structuring the water, okay? Different ways, I won't get into too much, you can structure the water at home. You can buy water structures, okay? You can move the water. If you circulate the water, it helps to structure it. Keeping it cool structures the water. But structured water is a big one. Again, phospholipids, you're seeing a theme here. Homeopathics, probiotics for the gut. Reducing inflammation is big on this because it allows it to transport out much better. CoQ10 for the membrane support, essential fatty acids. Vitamin C, again, to heal these layers. Healing leaky membranes. Healing leaky blood vessels, leaky brain, leaky gut is gonna make a big difference in transport, okay? It'll allow it to seal up. And healing leaky cellular membranes as well will help clean it up. And then toxin binders help with transport. One big one for leaky membranes, cellular membranes, gut membranes, glyphosate, okay? The pesticide or herbicide, excuse me. It just destroys our membranes. When they do research on this, okay? So if we take our gut and it seals up nicely like this, very tight-knit, and right in between where my fingers are, it's one cell layer thick in our gut, and the broken down nutrients transfer back and forth. They're small enough to get through there, and not the big stuff, not the bugs, not the big proteins. Research shows, and we can look at, I can maybe give all the doctors pictures of this so you guys can look at it, but when you apply Roundup to that, it just disintegrates it. I mean, it's disgusting how bad it is. It's like a broken window pane, okay? Now, different things we're doing here help to clean that back up. But if you're spraying Roundup on your yard, you have to stop. It's not acceptable, okay? You can't control what your neighbors do, but if you're using it, it's gonna be hard to get through some of this stuff. So like washing your food, organic food, to keep away from that glyphosate is gonna be huge, okay? All right, so if you got those open, now we can move to phase two. We can start to conjugate some of these toxins. So to conjugate again, this takes this toxic substance, been made more reactive, right? And then we attach a conjugation group to it. So the different conjugation groups are glutathione. This is where glutathione detox comes in handy. Sulfur, methylation and methyl groups, glycine, glucuronide, and acetyl groups. We attach these to the toxins, right? That's why glutathione is so important. But there's many other pathways other than just glutathione. So a lot of patients say, I've been taking glutathione forever. Well, there's at least five other groups that we may need to do, and only some toxins go through glutathione. Each one of these has certain toxins they work with. So we need to make sure we're working with the whole system. Now the enzymes that attach these, so you have the toxin, and then you have the group, like glutathione, and you have an enzyme that does the attaching, right? So like for glutathione, that's glutathione S transferase. So that's a big rate-limiting step here. If that enzyme doesn't work, you could have all the glutathione in the world and nothing happens, right? That doesn't make a difference. And so you need to have the enzymes appropriately running, and then you need to have the appropriate amount of the conjugation groups, okay? And we need to be able to recycle both of those. So to do that, you need the right amino acids, right? Like glycine, glutathione, all these are made up of amino acids. Certain herbs will support this process and support these enzymes. Foods will support these, like different cruciferous vegetables and things like that. The coenzymes that make the enzymes work, B vitamins, minerals like zinc, selenium, molybdenum, magnesium, are all necessary. So if you're deficient in those enzymes are gonna get burnt out, right? Optimizing methylation and genetics. You may genetically have a hard time making enough enzymes for this, but you can optimize it, and the body has workarounds. So we can support those workarounds. And then direct organ support. So the liver and kidneys all have phase 2 detoxification. Your microbiome, your gut bacteria have phase 1, 2, and 3 detoxification. So they can actually help you detoxify. So supporting all those directly can be helpful once you have the other steps in place. Lastly, phase 1 activation. Opening that up and making it more soluble, right? This requires antioxidants to help neutralize. So I told you it makes it more reactive. We want to have plenty of antioxidants on hand to neutralize that so it doesn't become an issue. And it's best supported via direct organ support. So we want to support the organ, like the liver directly or the kidneys directly, versus so much trying to upregulate this too much. If you upregulate this too much and then you don't have the other steps in regulation enough, you're going to feel like garbage. You're going to feel terrible, right? Because you're going to have all these free radicals created, all these reactive substances created, and you can't deal with it. And really, it's hardly ever necessary to upregulate this too much, okay? You really just need a minor amount of support in this phase if you have the other phases moving in the right direction. I want to make a note about antioxidants, okay? We've confused what antioxidants are a lot of times in the literature, in kind of media and pop science and things like that. Antioxidants, it's things that are against oxidative free radicals, right? They neutralize them. But we think things like green tea is an antioxidant. Well, it's not. It's actually a prooxidant. It's just a weak one. It irritates our cells, and then our cells make antioxidants. Now, sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's fine. But if you're blocked detoxification-wise, you need to have these other things cleaned up before you start messing with micro-prooxidants that are going to just irritate the snot out of your cells. All right? It's like why you can say, I took this detox supplement. I'm like, yeah, but it's full of prooxidants. It's just irritating your cells to try to get them to do your work, and your cells are busy crying, right? Let's deal with the cells first before we irritate them, okay? The technical way to think of that is you want things that are electron donors. So vegetables have lots of antioxidants. They donate electrons, right? Vitamin C donates its electrons. It's a true antioxidant. That electron neutralizes the free radical, okay? And you can ask your doctors about more examples of those. Or true antioxidants. Okay, one last thing as I'm getting to these phases is about NRF2. NRF2 is our master detoxification regulator for the cells. Its job is to protect our cells, and in doing so, it regulates antioxidants. It regulates detoxification enzymes and conjugators, transport in and out of the cell, and inflammation, okay? Its job is to monitor that. So what NRF2 does is there's a toxic substance coming in. It stimulates this little membrane protein called antioxidant response enzyme, which tells NRF2, there's a problem. Start making detox enzymes, start making antioxidants. Let's clean this baby up, okay? And that's what things like green tea does. It irritates that ARE and the NRF2 to make antioxidants, which can be good unless it's downregulated, inhibited, or overworked, right? If you're just super toxic, we can overwork these enzymes, okay? Or they can be down-regulated for whatever reason. Certain things down-regulate them, like glyphosate or mold, okay? Now, here's where mold gets really nasty, okay? Mycotoxins come in the back door, and they just turn this baby off. They unplug it. It's not even like it's slow. It's not even like it's only half working. They just turn it off, okay? So you have other mechanisms to work around this, but now you're having to work around your master regulator, right? That's a problem, okay? And so we need to reactivate that NRF2. We have to turn it back on. Now, a lot of practitioners are missing this step. They're not looking for this. And they're just, come on, let's get you detoxed, get you detoxed, get you detoxed. And they're never turning this back on. So are you detoxing? At some level, yes, you're working around it, but it's slow. And it's probably really grueling to get around that step. So different things can re-regulate this. Certain homeopathics, energy medicine can help turn it back on. Cruciferous vegetables can do it. DIM, diindolmethane, certain forms of vitamin E can. Exercise will and fasting will as well. I don't recommend you get all willy-nilly trying to activate this on your own without having other steps in place and a practitioner helping you. Because if you just launch into trying to do all these things to detoxify yourself and re-regulate NRF2, you can cause a little bit of a detox storm in your system. And it's not going to be fun to wait it out until it clears. So I recommend if you're going to mess with upregulating that, do it with a practitioner. Okay, third, clear the detox blocks. You must. So many patients come in and their detox system's blocked. They've tried steps, they've tried detoxing before, and they can't seem to make any progress. I had one patient who's been working on this world for like 5 or 6 years, and I basically got to tell her halfway through the protocol, you are finally detoxifying. You've been doing all this work, and you've been running these blocks, and now it's finally starting to open and clear, right? And she could feel it. And so the blocks will allow the toxins to bioaccumulate at that point. So I told you, you know, why is it such a big deal? You can't eliminate and it gets backed up. I told you I'd explain that. Well, I'm going to talk about that now. So let's say you're constipated. I've had some patients come in and they go twice a week, right? Just totally unacceptable. Like that's not going to work for the system, okay? So what happens is if you got all that poop in you, okay, all that stuff, your body says, I just got to reabsorb some of this. I can't let this sit. And so it starts to reabsorb it into the digestive circulation. And it moves it back to the liver. And the liver says, well, the way I get rid of it is the bowels. And if I can't do that, let's put it back in the circulation and give it to the kidneys. And the kidney's like, hey, I didn't sign up for this. I can only detox so much. It's the liver's job. Let's give it back to the circulation. The circulation says, I don't know what to do with it, but I got all this fat up here, and we could totally store it there for a little while. And then you get neuroinflammation, right? And so once you hit that detox block circulation, you get neuroinflammation. Now, the very first phase to deal with, instead of just elimination, and you would do these at the same time, is you have to start to unburden a little bit of that neuroinflammation. Because otherwise, whatever you take in is going to be hard to tolerate. Because everything is going to feel like neurostimulatory. Your system's going to say, well, look, I got nowhere for this to go. Let's just move it back up here. Move it back up here over and over again. It happens a lot, especially with PANS PANDAS kids, who are just so neuroinflamed that they've got nowhere for these toxins to go, and they can't tolerate anything because anything you give them just reactivates that neuroinflammation. So you have to tone that down first. So regardless of where your detox block is at, you gotta start backwards and look. And this is what we're doing as practitioners. We're using the biospectral testing, we're using our clinical reasoning, we're listening to you, and we're seeing, okay, where are these detox blocks at? At what point? Is it in elimination? Do I just need to get you pooping, right? Is it in one of the phases, phase 3 transport proteins? Is it a phase 2 conjugation issue? Where is this block at? Is NRF2 inhibited or downregulated? And so we need to start opening it up. So you need to deal with mold and NRF2 if you've got a detox block. Stress is going to upregulate that neuroinflammation. It's going to stress out the structured proteins. It's going to downregulate everything. Got to deal with your stress. Mitochondrial dysfunction. I'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment, but you got to have the energy to detox, right? Inflammation on any level is going to impair detoxification. Leaky membranes, like we talked about. Nutritional deficiencies. So if you don't have enough selenium, you can't attach glutathione to the toxin, right? You can have all the glutathione again in the world, but you need selenium to make the enzymes work to attach it. So you can have nutritional deficiencies. You can have neuroinflammation that in and of itself wasn't a detox block, but now that you've got it, it keeps you from actually taking anything to detox. You have to deal with the neuroinflammation. Constipation, a limbic system impairment, infections like we talked about, especially parasites, will block up detoxification because they'll sit in the ducts or the crypts, and more. So there's other factors there. But you got to work backwards, find the block, and clear that to open up the drainage again. So talked a little about energy, and what's our biologics approach here? So you'll hear the doctors a lot of times use a metaphor. Our hardware system, that's like our structure, right? You've got the cells, you've got the organs themselves, the hardware, you can feel it, right? But what tells the hardware what to do? So in a computer, you might have the best, most, I'm not a technology guy, but the best, most amazing laptop in the world that can run all the video games and all the data and all the whatever. But if the software is not working, it's a rock, right? It's a paperweight that was expensive. And so the same thing's for the human body. What's the software telling the hardware what to do? Okay, it's the communication, the intelligence, and the coordination that allows the hardware to complete its processes. So we gotta make sure that's in line. And then just like a computer, you need energy to power it. You can have the best operating system, the best computer, but no electricity, still a paperweight, right? And so the human body, we have energy, it's the capacity to do work that we need to make any of this happen. So you can have all the right detoxification enzymes in the right place, and the body could know what to do with it. but there's no energy, the mitochondria aren't working appropriately, doesn't matter still. Can't move the toxins, right? The cool part about energy that we forget, it's literally what holds the universe together. You know, all those weak and strong forces you learn about in chemistry, things like that, that's energy. That's a capacity to do those things that are holding it together. So your whole system is held together by energy. You would literally just disintegrate and fall apart, right, without energy. So for our approach, we combine all of these. So we need to look at your input, how you're processing information, your systems, your feedback, your adaptation, and we need to say at each of those levels, how's the hardware for that level? How's the software for that level? How's the energy for that level, right? That's what no other practitioners are doing and combining it in that way. They're looking, they might work with the hardware. You might get a few that worked with the software very rarely and some that work with energy. Very few are trying to combine it all together to say, all right, body, you can process this information, but what's the software saying? Is there a software signal to tell you what to do with this lipase enzyme, right? And then is there energy to fuel it? And then we take that to American Biological Medicine, our circuit healing concept. So you hear the doctors talk about, are your circuits up and running? So on a circuit, we've got a tooth, an organ, a muscle, a gland, a joint, a meridian. All those are connected. How's the hardware for those? How's the software for those? How's the energy for those, right? So what we're doing at Biologics, and it might seem confusing, you have no idea what we're doing. We might try to explain it, but obviously it's difficult to explain all that to you every 5 minutes that we're doing it. It's happening at light speed because a lot of this is light and energy based. But that's what we're doing. We're applying each of those metrics to you in your specific case to open up those detoxification blocks. You've got heavy metals stuck in the brain. We start dragging those across, kind of chelation style, functional medicine style. Man, that's going to be rough. But what if we make sure the hardware is in place? I make sure you can drain. I make sure you can transport it. I make sure the brain's limp or up and running. And then I ask the body's software, hey, can you talk to these enzymes that are here to do this and then work with the energy to make sure it happens? And what's even cooler is things called like biotransmutation. A lot of people know that concept. But for instance, uranium, biotransmutes, it transforms itself into lead over a long enough time. So when you start to do things like work with the body's hardware, software, and energy, you can do funky things like biotransmutation to do something different instead of dragging all these metals out of the brain and creating all this inflammation. You might have to do some of that, but to do all of it that way, no. That's gonna suck, just to be blunt, right? So we can do it differently understanding these mechanisms. So be the zebrafish, my friends. Few references that I used for some of this. There's way more, but those are the easy ones. And just for a few moments here, I'll take a couple of questions if you guys have any about the presentation today. And just raise your hand if you got them.
Yes.
Question. So with mold, how often have you guys found that people come here and they're getting better, then they go back home and move in mold, or they work in mold, or kids go to school in mold? Have you found that very often they go backwards in their school?
Yeah, especially if their body's not adaptable to it yet. You go back and get a re-exposure, it's really tough. And you'll see that doctors a lot of times pushing, even sometimes right here. Do you have somebody we can mail a test to and they can do a mold test for you back home if we suspect it? Because you get re-exposed and it's not necessarily moving fully backwards, but it means we got to re-detox you. We got to get you out of that environment, re-detoxify you again until we can get the whole system adapting to that. So it's important that when you're back home, you're not in the environment that's causing the problem to begin with. Yeah, thank you. Further questions?
Yes.
What are your favorite binders?
We use a lot. We're a big fan right now of the bioactive carbons, the human confulvic acids, for a couple of reasons. They bind up glyphosate beautifully. The companies we're using for those, they get to play with the electrons and the carbons, right? So on the ingredients list, polysaccharides of human confulvic acid, they all look the same. Well, the truth is, they go to the lab, they take those carbons under the molecular microscope, and they move electrons around, okay? And so this one's better for ammonia and these toxins. This one's better for heavy metals. This one's better for mold. So I like the humic and fulvic acid bioactive carbons. We use some charcoal, some zeolite, some things like that, king chlorella for different reasons. We use some carbonized bamboo, carboxy is another humic and fulvic acid-based, some things like that. Those are my favorites. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes.
For NRF2, what supplement specifically
Yeah, the biggest two that help activate it are DIM and then vitamin E, gamma tocopherol. Again, be careful trying to jump into that and seeing what happens, because it opens up the floodgates if you're not got the other stuff in the right way. Yeah. One more question. All right, yep, go ahead.
Would you speak a little bit more to neuroinflammation?
Yeah, so kind of like I said, it'll eventually back up, and because the brain's a big fat source, and fat's a great place for us to store toxins, right? And so we'll store those toxins there. Well, they're reactive, and so they're gonna create inflammation. But when that happens then, it's not just a headache, right? It's like we just think inflammation. It's like a storm. That patient a lot of times may become neurotic at that point, anxious, nightmares, can't sleep, wired but tired. They may have rage attacks at that point. And so when that happens, they're gonna become very sensitive to anything else they take in, because everything's gonna agitate that system, right? They're already, kind of wound up and stuck, and they take a little bit more and it just agitates that more. And so those people, they don't necessarily look like a detox reaction, like a typical flu-like reaction. They're gonna look like more anxiety, more can't sleep, more wired but tired and adrenaline dumps. And so that's why it's important to start with the last phase and neuroinflammation at that point to calm some of that down. Now, some of that can be calmed through like limbic system retraining as well, and doing that work will calm some of the inflammation. And so sometimes you'll see us say, I want you doing this limbic retraining, we're gonna work on this neuroinflammation, and we're gonna work on this detox pathway all at the same time. And it's gonna feel aggravating sometimes when you're neuroinflamed, because you're gonna feel like, I'm just so inflamed, I can't do anything else. Yes, I understand, but we need to push through it anyways, because we need to break this cycle somewhere, and we're gonna break it in all of them. And so the neuroinflammation looks a lot of times like anxiety on steroids, but it's inflammation in the brain. But you gotta hit it from all those different angles. All right, you guys, later on, this will be posted up so you can share it with anybody you think might be interested. And I hope you guys get to tune in for the next one. Thank you.
To access more information and resources from this episode and previous Biologic podcasts, or to learn how Biologic Center for Optimum Health's all-inclusive treatment program helps those with chronic illness, visit our website at biologicscenter.com.